My guest at this time is Andrew McCarthy. He is a former federal prosecutor who was on the team that convicted the blind sheikh Omar Abdelrahman and others in connection with the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center. He's now well known as a terrorism expert and an expert also on radical Islam. We want to get his reaction to reports that one of the reasons for the rioting near the U.S. Embassy in Cairo last week was because the Muslim Brotherhood is trying to whip up a frenzy in support of the release of the blind sheikh. The State Department saying that there is no such plan for Rahman's release. And Andy, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
We've heard so many different reactions now. Some have said that it's a September 11th anniversary that sparked these riots. Others, of course, said it's this internet film. That's been the administration line for the last week or so. And now we're hearing reports from the Homeland Security Department, among others, that perhaps it was this concerted effort to put pressure on the U.S. government to release Rahman. What can you glean as far as fact from fiction here?
Well, it's funny. I've released a book this week called Spring Fever, The Illusion of Islamic Democracy, which tries to explain that all of these sorts of things, whether it's whether it's the blind sheikh or the movie or the cartoons or, you know, whatever it'll be next week, that's all pretextual. What causes this is the fact that Islamic supremacism is the dominant ideology of the region. So it doesn't take much of a pretext to spark things. And in this instance, you have the powder keg problem of all the conditions on the ground with the ascendancy of the Muslim Brotherhood are in place to almost order this up at the drop of a hat. Plus, you have a real vacuum of leadership by the United States, and that always is the sort of 1-2 punch that's most likely to lead to this. There's no question that the blind sheikh is a top item on their agenda. In fact, there's been agitation for his release since we arrested him in the summer of 1993, and they've committed some pretty atrocious acts, including a massacre of 62 people in Luxor, Egypt, back in 1997, to try to extort us into releasing him. So this has always been a high priority item, and now that the Muslim Brotherhood and the Salafists, let's not forget, who are pressuring the Brotherhood to be even more radical than they'd probably otherwise be looking to be at this point in time, you have a sort of perfect storm of extremism which has come to the fore in Egypt.
What should the American people take away from the fact that one of the first things this new government is doing is pressing for the release of this guy?
Well, I think what they should take away from it is that it's a demonstration of what President Obama's policies lead to. You know, let's not forget that in the run-up to Morsi making that demand in his very first public statement after he was announced as the victor in the presidential election, right before that, the Obama administration unbelievably issued a visa to a guy named Hani Noor Eldin, who is a member of the Blind Sheikh's terrorist organization, Gamaat al-Islamiyya, the Islamic group. Now, if you or I were to give any assistance to this guy, we'd be committing the serious federal felony of material support to terrorism. Yet the Obama administration not only issued him a visa, they actually invited him to the White House to consult on the future of Egypt with our top national security officials. And they did it knowing that his top agenda item would be to press the United States for the release of the blind sheikh, which the media reports tell us he did. So with the administration rolling out the red carpet to a member of the blind sheikh's terrorist organization, what kind of signal is Morsi supposed to take from that, except that we're probably open to this sort of discussion? And so far as I know, he's had not only the signals he's getting from concepts like that, he's had face-to-face meetings with Hillary Clinton, the upshot of which is he got invited to come to the White House in September to meet the president at a time when Benjamin Netanyahu can't get 5 minutes with the guy.
We're talking with Andrew McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, longtime terrorism expert. His new book, as he mentioned a moment ago, is Spring Fever, The Illusion of Islamic Democracy. And Andy, given what you just said then about the White House rolling out the red carpet for someone that close to Rahman, do you take at face value the State Department insistence that there is and has been no deal to release Rahman, or does it give you pause?
Well, there's a couple of things I'd say about that. You know, when I do not take at face value when they say there have been no negotiations, because I think there obviously have been negotiations. We didn't hear it in the American press, but we heard from the Arabic press when the democracy activists were being detained by the then ruling military junta in Egypt. The Arabic press reported that one of the things on the table in the negotiations was the possibility of a swap for the, between the U.S. and Egypt, the blind sheikh for the democracy activists. So we know that Eldin talked about it with our national security officials. We know that according to the Arabic press, it came up in the negotiations over the democracy activists. We know that Morsi had a face-to-face meeting with Hillary Clinton. We don't know what they said, but we obviously know this is an item of great importance to him. It would be stunning if it didn't come up in their conversation. So I think there definitely have been negotiations. My own opinion is, and I can't prove this, that it's likely that a deal is in place, but that it will not be announced until after the election. And I think, you know, the thing for Americans to focus on is President Obama could put an end to this in 5 seconds by just making a flat announcement publicly, which he's had every opportunity to do, that we will never let this guy out, that he's a convicted anti-American terrorist with blood on his hands. He's serving a life sentence that was imposed after a rigorously fair trial, and he's going to serve his life sentence. President Obama could do that today.
And so you've very articulately explained what the president could do and then why Rahman should not be released here. Do you think that the fact that this has now kind of blown up in the media, even beyond the meetings that were kind of flying under the radar, that'll put a kibosh on this, certainly past the election, but perhaps indefinitely because of the fact that it's been exposed now? Or do you think that if there is a second Obama term, that this could potentially go forward still?
I think that even if there isn't a second Obama term, the day after the election, the day after it's November 6th, I think, I don't think Obama will have to care ever again what the American people think. And whether Obama wins or loses the election, I think the blind sheikh will be released in the 10 weeks between Election Day and Inauguration Day. And I also fear that the release of the blind sheikh may be the least of some of the bad things that happen.
Certainly sobering on a number of fronts. Andy, as always, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Andy McCarthy, former federal prosecutor, was on the team that prosecuted the blind sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman and others in 1993. His new book, among many and very good books, is Spring Fever, The Illusion of Islamic Democracy. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.